to do an intro? Because it said recorded starting.
We are back. And the really cool thing to shout about this being back is this is our 10th episode. Like, we've done this 10 times already. I mean, holy shit. So here we go. Welcome to Live Fire Media Show. That's right. 10. Wow, it took that long to figure that out.
And let's not forget.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That helped.
I mean, you got to take your britches out. Look, sponsored by Colt and Viagra.
Sponsored by nobody, because this is a free product show. Product placement works. See, yeah, there you go. Yeah, turn it this way. There we go.
Yeah, they product don't pay me really shit, works. And yet I still go. But,
that's draw. Right.
I'd like to rub the O.
Well, I can't say they don't pay me shit. I mean, they pay my paycheck, but they don't pay for anything right? I'm doing here.
Oh, I just got a gig with Colt. Another one.
That's cool. Another one. What a shocker. Look at my shock face.
I'm going to start doing some more of their photography.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure to not make it look gay.
So I'm not going to take any photos, so that's probably all right.
I can take photos of what you cut out there?
Of you. Of you. And what's wrong with being gay? This is 2025. Dude. There are no lines. Gay, straight.
Okay, you keep telling yourself that, pal. It's cool. Totally cool, man. Whatever works for you, man.
All right. Just for the record, everybody, this rolling her eyes, I have kissed Dave no less than 8 times. And you know how I know he's gay? Because every time I fucking kiss him, he giggles.
Where the hell have I been for these 8 times?
Oh, you think he must have been drunk.
Oh, Roofie. Well, you wish you could roofie me.
He was faking.
I don't take shit to drink from you. I know better.
Like, eat this Skittles and have plausible deniability. Oh, I'm so faint.
Yeah, you're dangerous, all right. That's for damn sure.
Get your ass.
So, yeah, no bullshit. Yeah, welcome to our silly little show. He's Hunter Elliott, rangehot.com. I'm Dave Kawaka, also known as Dave from High Point. Hunter's actually known as Cornbread.
And we won't forget the Iron Man. Not mention emotions. In my spare time, I like to watch people bash puppies' foreheads in with claw hammers.
Your words, not mine.
I'm just.
Turning this whole thing into an actual podcast, dude, way more work than I've ever anticipated it being.
I'm glad you got to do it.
So a buddy of mine told me a while back, he pointed me to a program I've been, trying to get my window set better, so I'm like, so it looks like I'm looking at you, not like over here to the side. I'll go to the side for information. But a buddy told me about a website, and I'm not gonna, doesn't matter what the website is right now, but he told me of a site to use that's kind of like an all-in-one to like push it out there as a podcast. And I was like, sweet, awesome. I go set up with it. I tell it I want Apple Podcasts, I want Spotify, I don't know, a bunch of other options I set up on there. And you know, we put several episodes out there, and it was like, where the hell are they? Can't find them anywhere. And I find some other site telling me, oh, we got to create an RSS account. I'm like, well, I thought this site I was using kind of did that shit for you. And it's like, oh, RSS accounts are free. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll create one on there, upload an episode, and I'll link it all together. Well, RSS now to the point has like evolved from what they were to like you can actually host your crap on them now, like your podcast. So the one singular episode I can put up for free, episode 1, is actually on Apple Podcasts. You can find it. I have a link. But it's the only episode that's out there, even though the other site I'm using has 4 or 5, and none of them show up anywhere else. And now what I found out is I'm paying, I think, $20 a month for my current site, and using RSS.com, which I clearly can see it puts our stuff on Apple Podcasts, is $12 a month charged annually. I'm like, I'm going to jump ship because the site, the app I'm using sucks. I mean, because technically we're on Apple Podcasts and only one episode, though, the first episode. So,
we're back.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, everything I keep reading, it's like, oh, yeah, it's that simple. I follow their instructions, follow the tutorials. None of them seem to do a damn thing. And I just, like, general Google searches. Does this site suck? And, of course, the replies people come up like, yeah, this site sucks. Like, it was good back in the day. Now it just sucks. Everybody's better than it. I'm like, yeah, it's time to jump ship. So hopefully here next week or so, we'll get that going. And we'll actually have multiple episodes of our bullshit actually on Apple Podcasts so people can actually find it, listen to it, not just on Rumble and YouTube.
Well, I would like to be the first to say that, my friend, was an amazing story. It ranks right up there with Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
Nobody's watching this story. They can see what I'm doing is flipping Hunter off.
Wow.
Or his asshole.
Fuck, dude. You know, act like an adult.
This is me acting like an adult.
Take some criticism. You know, when I give you constructive criticism, it's not to defame your personality. It's to build you up to my level.
Oh, I'm not there
help
yet.
Me, help
Shit,
you.
I thought I was already there, man. Damn.
Now, I didn't know we were doing a comedy episode. I only got like 8 jokes prepared.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna roll with it. Anyway.
Okay, so that was something productive I've done to help us out here. What the hell have you been doing?
I told 2 friends.
2? You only 2? So one's me. Okay, who's the other one? Candy?
I told him again. I'm like, hey, fuckers. Well, I took a class Saturday.
Okay.
I took Green Ops Defensive Pistol 1.
Hold on. I literally just discovered those guys, I think. Hang on. I just want to see if it's the same ones I'm thinking of.
Green Ops Defensive Pistol 1. A really good friend of mine works for them.
Really?
Josh.
Yeah. I just found these guys like this week and was looking at some of their training because I saw one of the things they're going to be at a Tactical Response in Tennessee where I just was for Paul Markle's class a couple weeks ago. So, okay, cool. Tell me about your class then. That's cool.
Well, I'll tell you about the day after my class.
Okay.
I was sore. I was tired.
Old.
I was grumpy.
Old. Okay.
And I had 400 rounds less of 45 auto in my inventory.
Okay. What I just heard was old, and old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what? You blew 600 rounds?
Four rounds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking leftover. I was thinking my case counts.
No,
400 rounds. That's cool. That's a lot of shooting. That's good.
The class was Defensive Pistol 1.
Okay.
But I feel like it should have been named Defensive Pistol 1 and a half of Defensive Pistol 2. Because, like, the
pretty thorough class.
From 8 to lunch was pretty basic. You know, they taught the draw.
Okay, yeah, that's pistol
speed,
one.
You know, just the basic stuff. And it was one instructor and 3 other assistant instructors, and it was a dozen of us. And they were walking the lines, they were watching your grip, making corrections in real time.
Right.
So I feel like the first half of the day, they were just essentially getting you ready for the second half of the day.
Right.
And then second half of the day, it was, you know, using barricades, shooting from various positions, offhand, kneeling, low kneeling, some prone, all handgun.
Right.
We talked about speed reloading, administrative reloading. They went over a lot of malfunctions. The very next thing we did after class was, excuse me, after lunch was, we're going to go over malfunctions. And I was kind of the cut up of the class in the morning.
Shocker.
Like, give me your name and it's about your background. You know,
I'm a famous gun rider.
You know, and now they're like, well, I'm John Smith and I served as a special operations warfighter for 12 years, deployed 18 times, you know, I mean, just all these guys, really super serious,
right.
Really just, you know, And it got to me, and I'm like, my name is Hunter Elliott. My pronouns are him, his. Gender fluid. I bought my gun on the way to this class, and I'm looking forward to, like, even
oh, God, that's great.
And everybody looked at me, and they were like, is he serious?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, because none of these guys know me from, you know, anybody. But, and then, like, I was cutting up a lot, because that's just me. And then they're like, okay, we're going to break from lunch. And then the next thing we're going to do, we're going to talk about malfunction drills. And, of course, I go, am I exempt from malfunction drills? Because, obviously, I'm shooting a 1911. And because they had some Glock.
I would have generally laughed at that. That's funny.
And everybody kind of, you know, giggled a little bit.
Okay.
However. They had some Sig P320s out there. Yes. Gave a little trouble.
Mm.
Saw some Glocks. Give a little trouble.
Okay, but were the Glocks stock or were they like
no? You know what? I was the only Chad and I went. Chad and I were the only guys there shooting box stock guns,
right?
And shooting iron sights.
God, you fucking fuds!
Everybody else had optics and shit. And,
yeah, no, that's fine. That's cool. You know,
super fancy. But anyway, I run my Dan Wesson's, but I had one malfunction and it was magazine related. And it was a Chip McCormick mag.
Mm-hmm. I've used a ton of those over the years.
Okay. But here's what threw me off. I run my gun to slide lock. I come into my workspace, I drop my empty mag, fresh mag. When I look at the fresh mag, the round is halfway out.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just looking like, at it, and well, when I saw it, I was so ingrained in reloading. When I saw it, I already locked the mag and hit the slide release, and my brain said, "Nope, that ain't gonna work."
Right.
And the slide went ka-chunk. I was like, "Fuck!" So the guy's like, "We're gonna teach." You know, when it happened, they're talking about teaching. That's a failure. What was it, failure to extract? I don't know what that malfunction.
Yeah, I'm trying to
double feed.
Yeah, I was say probably get a double feed out of that if it was.
So I just I hit the damn magazine release, stripped the mag out. When I stripped the mag out, the slide went home. I saw that other round roll out of the magazine. Well. Fresh checkmate mag, boom, racked it, went. That was the only malfunction I had all day, and that was. And then immediately, I took that mag and I put it in my bag in my back. And then we broke for reloading. I took that magazine, I put it in my range bag, and I didn't use it anymore that day.
Do you typically mark your mags, like number them or make an identifier?
Well, this typically? Is the only Chip McCormick mag I've got.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't have a dimple on the follower, which I should have known. So what I'll probably do is either A, take a hammer to it, or I'll see if they make a rebuild kit where I can get a follower with a dimple and then a spring.
Right. In general, though, do you typically mark your magazines, you know, to identify them?
No.
See, I did in the past. I think my last several newer ones. I think I've marked my VP9 mags only because several guys I shoot with run VP9s as well. So I put DK on them, my initials. But I've quit marking them like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, in the past it seemed useful. Like if you had an issue, I think maybe like one gun, one magazine, I knew it was like the number 6 magazine gave me an issue. So I always put it like, if I was shooting USPSA comp, it'd be like the first mag I put in to charge the gun and kick it out, put it away and grab the next mag in to like be topped off. That's the only way I'd use that magazine rather than just throw it away because I'm cheap, you know. But yeah, anymore, I've not really marked many of my mags much.
If I get a what I'm going to do is what I should have done already, I'll probably do tomorrow. I'll call Wolf tomorrow and I'm just going to order a dozen plus 15% mag springs.
Right.
And I'm going to change all the mag springs because I've had that pistol for.
Which one was it again? Which Dan Wesson?
Dan Wesson Specialist. I've had that gun for 5 years now.
Yeah, so it's, and you shot it a good bit.
A lot, yeah. And I've never changed the recoil spring, and I've never changed any mag springs. And, you know, you should be changing your recoil spring every couple of years, probably every year.
Do you think years, or do you think actual, like, rounds through it, though?
Rounds through it, but I shoot that gun a lot.
Right.
I'm probably a couple thousand rounds a year through it, at least.
See, I've got a bad habit. If I've got a gun, I put that many rounds through it. Rather than changing springs, I probably just typically buy another gun.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I mean, it's no bullshit. It's not intentional, but like just kind of how like life has kind of worked out. You know what I mean?
I would like to have another Dan Wessel specialist, but
I can't picture that one off the top of my head. I know I'm sure it's a good looking gun.
It's my favorite 1911, and as far as feature rich enhancements, all kidding aside, and I'm a FUD motherfucker. We can't argue that.
Okay, it's nothing crazy looking. That's just like a modern 1911, but like.
Yeah, but they run really nice night sights. Mm-hmm. The front night sight has got a yellow dot on it.
I mean, it was an XS sight, maybe.
Right. I don't know who makes them. Okay. Factory got a big, like, when you're looking at it in the daylight, the front sight's got a big old white dot on it. But then when you cut the lights out, that great big old yellow dot turns into a great big old bright yellow, or excuse me, in daylight it's bright white.
Right.
In low light, no light, it's bright yellow.
Right.
In the rear sight, at the center of the U-notch, has a green night sight.
Like just a line?
No, just a dot.
A dot.
So in low light, somebody else.
It sounds familiar.
You can stack the dots.
Right.
And because the front sight is yellow and the rear sight is green, it's really easy to differentiate them.
I gotcha.
You know, and let me tell you something, man. You know what? I'm going to tell you something I think I learned from this class.
Yeah, go for it.
And I had a change of heart.
Okay.
So they taught. We went through a lot of strong hand and support hand shooting.
Right.
You know, they talked about if you get hit, you get hurt or whatever, and you have to transition.
Right.
So, you know, you're on your strong side, something happens, and you've got to get your pistol to your left hand.
Yeah.
I did, of course, now, Dave. I always, you know, I try to spend about 10% of my range time with single hand. Now, when I shoot, you know, single handed or one handed, I cant the gun. So,
yeah.
Like,
yep, same thing. Yeah, you're not straight out; you're canting it. Right. And I'm not going ghetto, but you know, here, if anybody's watching, you know, it's canted like that.
But people, when you twist your arm like that, you're torsioning your muscles. When you put it on a 45, you're not torsioning.
Yep.
Portioning. So, you know, I was here, and that's the first time in my life I was very thankful for an ambi safety.
For the ambi?
Because it's got an ambi safety on it. And I'm
right.
Like, right, but when I was left-handed, I could.
Sorry. I forgot. You're talking about me at left-handed. I got you. Yes. Yeah,
sorry.
No, it was me. I was still thinking right-handed, one-handing it. I forgot you were talking about, you know.
Yeah, they're like, okay, you know, we're shooting. Like, okay, you know, you'd pull your arm back, like your arm is injured. So then you have to take your support hand and grab your gun.
Right. And strip it out of your right hand. Yeah.
And then commence shooting.
Right.
And I'm like, and I'll, you know, then they'll be like, okay, you know, stop, safety on. And I could snap the safety on with my down. And I thought, all right. You know, the ambi safety is it's actually pretty damn good for this. Is a strictly a duty gun.
So it's, regardless of that, so I'm going to say for the most part, then you're a fan of just the strong side safety on 1911, the typical left.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I've always liked the ambi just because in that kind of same sense is one, what's it hurt to have it? I see no issue with it, but yeah, too, if you got to change hands, you could still engage a safety 1911, which you should be. If you have a 1911, you should be using that damn safety. If you're not using the safety 1911, you're wrong.
Agree. Like when we were shooting, So the way I run my gun, I carry in condition one.
Right.
And so I didn't cheat myself, and 80% of the class was drawing from the holster.
Yep.
Everything was drawing from the holster. We had a handful of drills that were from low ready. And so, you know, every time I draw, I'm sweeping my safety off. And then when I'm holstering, I'm locking my safety on.
Yep.
So, you know, but I mean, I've been drawing and shooting 1911s long. For me, it's very intuitive. You know, and I did really well out of the 12. Now, there was two guys there that were gamers.
Right.
And they had the rig. They had the rig.
Sure.
And the nice, you know, double stack, striker fired, you know. But I would say out of the dozen guys, at the end, we all shot a qualifier.
Right.
That scored us. And I was probably, out of 12 people, I was probably 7 or 8.
Nice.
Let's say 7. Conservatively 7. And I'm guessing, because I didn't look at everybody's score.
Sure. But
the instructor come up when he scored my target. It was a IDPA target.
Mm-hmm.
And the qualifier was at 357 and 25 yards.
Right.
And when they scored my target, I was down 4
mm-hmm.
out of 50 rounds, iron sights. And then one of the instructors scored my target, turned, and he goes, "Iron sights, 45 auto, fucking good job, man," and give me the fist bump. And I was like,
That made your day, didn't it?
It made me feel good. He's like, "There's some big assholes in that target." I'm like, I use a 45 because it gives me better of a chance to cut the line and get the higher score.
All right, gamer. Yeah, no, that sounds – you did a lot of similar things we did in student of the guns class. That was a martial application pistol. Very, very similar with what we're doing. Only his – it was a two-day class. So I think, yeah, I'd say our first half of our day was the initial orientation, and the rest of it was going pretty – I don't say balls out, but – you know, going to much deeper things, but we'd same thing. We did a like final test exam at the end. That was not as many rounds, but, do you remember the kid Dickens, the 21-year-old kid that shot the guy in the mall a couple years ago?
Oh, from like 30 yards or something.
Like 40 yards. We started. So when we first heard that, me and my guys were at the range, we set that drill up and did it ourselves. And it was 8 rounds at 40 yards, you know, on target, whatever. And just did it like that. And we're like, okay, that's cool. That's fun. We should do this more often because we kind of all sucked at it. And coming to student guns class, they had more info on it. And it was, he fired 4 shots at 40 yards. And he fired 4 shots, I think it was like 20 yards. And then 2 more shots at like 4 or 5 yards. So we walk up to our final assessment. We did it individually. You get radioed over, and I looked at it right away. I was like, "We doing a Dickens drill here?" And Paul was like, "Ah, somebody knows, paying attention." I was like, "All right." He goes, "Yeah, when you hear, you know, a go signal, could be shouting, could be gunshots." He was like, "Engage 4 from here, move to the next position, 4 from there, last position, 2. I was like, "Okay, fine." Dude, I let the USPSA gamer side of me take over at first.
Yeah, there you go.
No, in a bad way. This was bad.
Oh,
I heard the pistol shot into the ground. I yell, "Stop." I step over, draw my gun. And I was like, "Look at it." And it was like 1, 2, 3, 4. Fucking sprinted up to the, we'll say it was 20 yards, 20 yard line. And it was 1, 2, 3, 4. Ping, 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 ping. I heard the steel and I went, "Oh shit." That steel was loud. I did not hear it back at 40 yards at all. I'm like, "Fuck."
Oh,
it's like, okay, whatever. Round to the last position, 2 rounds, ping, ping, super fast. And Paul comes walking up. He says, "How'd you do?" I went, I didn't hear a single steal from 40 yards. I let speed take me over and start slinging lead. And he goes, "You dropped 3. I was like, "Oh, okay." So in the midst of firing 4 shots, one of the by second or third hit, but because I was firing shots so fast, I didn't even hear the steel ring, you know, like a dumbass. I was like, okay, he goes, so you got 7 out of 10 hits. And I went, all right, it's not my best performance, but I'll take it. It's 40 yards. And two other guys in my class did the exact same thing I did. And then three other guys in class scored a perfect 10. And the all commonality was when they heard their signal to go, they drew took their time. And that's what kind of Paul says. He goes, I don't run a timer in this class. He goes, well, at what point did any of you think you had to go fast? And I immediately was like, oh, it's my own, call a training scar if you want. Me from used to doing USPSA, a buzzer goes, I go. You know, I missed because of me.
All of our drills were not timed, but we shot two competitions, one right before lunch and one at the end of the day, or I say qualifiers.
Right.
And then we had probably about, after lunch, I'm going to say 50% of the drills, they did put a timer.
Which, don't get me wrong, I like a timer. A timer does induce stress, and I get that. But at the same time, too, you know, in the case of our qualifier, me and two other guys, we put our own stress on ourselves to go fast, thinking we had to. We really didn't. When the whole point is, you got to think you're in the mall, you're drawing that gun, and you might have more time than you realize to get that engaged, that, you know, your sights on target before sending rounds down range. There could be people out of the way, you know. Whereas I basically heard the shot, so it was like ping, 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 you know.
Right.
And I should have slowed down a little bit, you know. And that's, but again, I completely acknowledge that's my screw up, my bad from doing competitions and being too ingrained into the shot timer shit, you know. So
we did a FBI qualifier, and
I know I've done it, but it's been a long time, so I'm not that familiar anymore.
I scored a 92. I scored a 92.
I think I have that. I think Drill Index has that qualifier, I think.
And, you know, I tell you where I shined.
Yeah.
Over the guys with the high capacity guns.
Okay.
One of the stages in the FBI was you had to do, you had to shoot two, or you had two rounds in your magazine. You shoot three, reload, shoot three.
Right.
And so I'm used to 7-8 round magazines. So sure. I can reload that 1911 like it's, you know, fucking second nature. The guy was like, after like half the day come up, he's like, your fucking reloading skills are on point. I'm like,
yeah,
single stack magazine, baby. I gotta be good at reloading.
1911 teaches you that shit. I know that one firsthand as well. They do. Yeah. They teach you to be fast in that reload.
But the guy's he's like, you're really good at reloading. So I was better than average in the class, but I was really good on my reloads. But you know, 1911 is easy to reload, and that.
I mean, it's got a little magwell, looks like, on that thing. So
it's got easier. A magwell on it, and I'm using bumper mags.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
That makes it easier.
The 1911 is an easy reload, and that Dan West Specialist is a dream to run, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you what, some of those guys were, like, watching me shoot, and they're like, you're not experiencing a tremendous amount of recoil. And
like, why would I be?
And I'm like, here's what I told a guy. I said, I'm a fucking man. I can hold this gun and run this gun because I'm a man. But I didn't go into the, hey man, they don't put a radius on the firing pin top of these fucking Dan Wesses. You know, so when you go to rack the slide on that bitch, it's tough.
Right.
But the. This is the first class I've taken with a Dan West in 1911.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what. I felt like it was cheating. I mean, with all the things that Dan Weston does, you know what? And that would be a good YouTube video for Range Hot. With all the things that Dan Weston does to these guns, it didn't really show until I took a class with it.
Right. Well, I'd say, because even looking at it, like,
I need to. Yeah, I've never shot a match with that pistol.
I said, I mean, because just looking at it, I'm not knocking it by any means. It just looks like a good 1911, but I don't see anything like overly standout. I mean, it just looks like a good 1911. And I know Dan Wesson makes solid guns, but that doesn't change the fact it still just looks like a fine 1911.
Now, I will say this. I'm a little disappointed in it. By the end of the day, racking the slide, it's a little sluggish.
Mm, just getting so filthy.
Yeah, so I have...
But that's because it's a Dan Wesson, not a GI model that loses horror, you know?
And I have never cleaned it. I bet you, Dan. I bet there's 6,000 rounds through it. Never cleaned it.
I mean, even you and I have talked about, though, like, you know, people talk about 1911s, how they jam up and, you know, they can't handle all this crap, but a Glock can, whatever.
It's fucking bullshit.
It is bullshit, but it's also because you've got guys don't know what they're talking about. They're taking a stock Glock, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly fine gun. It's a great service pistol. Great. But those same guys that are hating on 1911, it's because they're taking some insanely tight, toleranced, multi-$1,000 pistol that was built for bullseye shooting, not for running hard. And then you look at GI 1911s, they're as loose tolerances as Glocks are. That's why they ran forever.
My father always said, you pick up your Colt and shake it. If it doesn't rattle, it's broken.
Right. Because it's going to run all the time.
But that, you know, that and it cut up. And look, I'm not sponsored. Well, Range Hot is actually sponsored by Dan Wesson. So I guess I'm a shill.
Yeah, but, you are. It's okay.
But now, in all fairness, I did like 5 or 6 Dan Wesson reviews before they bought an app. But I really was impressed with the way that gun run.
That's awesome.
And shot. I have a new affinity for it.
That's awesome.
The only thing I did right before class is I oiled it. And even Chad was like, whoa, special occasion. You're oiling your gun. I'm like, right? But I'm like, I don't want it to fuck up in class.
No, that's like the worst thing. Last thing you want to have happen.
Right.
Yeah, like I could use my Echelon could use a little oil, but it's not. It's all right for a few more rounds.
I'm gonna shoot that Dan Weston until it has a pistol failure.
They should.
And I'm not gonna clean it. I'm gonna say, how long would this thing go until it has a pistol failure? Now, you know, if you were to come over right now and lock the slide to the rear and look in the gun, it's dirtier than my toilet.
Oh, I'm sure. Because I mean. Look at the color. Looking at one online and think locking up. Now I'm sure it's absolutely filthy. 400 rounds. It's gonna be filthy.
Oh, it's fun. And I did a little YouTube short. I made a sandwich because you had to bring your lunch. I made a sandwich, and I had the gun laying on Chad's tailgate, and from the muzzle to the end of the cocking serrations, one of them was gunpowder. You know, like it just was gray. But yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Like I said, I recently just discovered Green Ops.
Green Ops.
So you clearly had a good time with the class.
You had a good time. Did I have a good time? Yes and no. It was the instructors were great, the instruction was great. The training was at me 51. There were parts of it that was a little grueling. Not like we had like.
Okay. Let me ask this. Was that because it was more of a refresher for you at this point?
Physically demanding.
Physically demanding. So, you were that wore out.
Yeah. And now they did say, look, if you've got back problems, hip problems, knee problems.
Right.
When the instructor says, like, for example, one of the drills, they put a target, they stack two barrels. This is cover.
Right.
And then if you're standing there, you know, 3 or 4 feet and you pied to the right, a cat hair, there was a steel target.
Okay.
Then if you pied to the left at a 45 was another steel target.
Right.
Now you would run up to the barrel, and there's an instructor, and he would, you know, you're already hot, and then he was like, 3 rounds right target, and you'd have to do that. Then he might go two rounds kneeling left target. And they said, if you've got a problem kneeling or what, you can look at the guy. I'm like, nah, man, you know, I got knee problem. Or when you run up, tell the instructor. But I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to what he says. You know, so you run up. He's like, two rounds, you know, offhand steel. Boom, boom. Two rounds kneeling left. Boom, boom. Two rounds right kneeling. Boom, boom. Two rounds, you know, offhand left. Boom. And so you're up, down, up, down, up, right. Up, down, you know. And, I mean, I was give out.
I mean, any good instructors, like, if you strip, say you can't do shit. Like, we had a guy in student the gun class. I think we were doing the prone. I think we were dropping to a knee. I can't remember now, but he basically was like, I can't do that. If I get down, I'm not getting back up because I've had X amount of surgeries and my knees and hips are bad shapes. They're like, okay, then just stand there and shoot. Don't do it. Like, it's fine.
That's how they did.
Like, you paid to be there. They don't want you to break yourself. Right. You know? I mean,
would I take the class again? Absolutely. Was it a good class? Absolutely. Was it a walk in the park? No. No, it was not. And it was hot that day, and they didn't cut you no slack for being hot.
Well, no. Why would they? You're North Carolina. I mean.
Yeah. Now, the guys brought water. This is what was a little cool about the class. Now, they said, bring water, bring food. And like, two instructors brought way extra water, way extra food.
Right.
And they actually even brought ammo.
Damn.
And one guy ran short like 50 rounds of 9mm. And the instructor was like, now, I don't know if he had to pay him later.
Right.
But he, you know, the guy's like, oh, I run out of ammo. You know, when he was back reloading, and the instructor's like, here's 50 rounds of 9mm.
I'd say most students would be quick to help another guy out too, like that. I mean, I know, I think all of us brought 1,000 rounds, and we went through like 400-500 for our class. But you wouldn't hesitate to, like, here, dude, here's some ammo, fill your bag up.
But the instructor was like, I got ammo, we got ice, we got cold water, we got room temp water, and they brought snacks. So even if you just totally boloed it,
right,
then.
They kind of had you covered.
Quite enough ammo. Now, I wouldn't show up with 100 rounds and expect them to make that up.
But right. That'd be a dick move.
A box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you didn't bring enough water, or you didn't bring any snacks.
It's easy to misjudge that stuff.
Yeah. They were really cool. We did from live fire commenced about 8:30. We went to 4:30, and then whoever wanted to stay and shoot another, like, they provided you with, it's like, okay, does anybody want to stay another 30 minutes? And I said, no.
Because you were wore out.
I was wore the fuck out. You know, I had the Chinese disease, man. You know what that is?
No. Dragon hand. Doll dragon ass.
So, but there was like three guys who were like, I'd like to shoot a few more drills. And so they kind of gave you another buffer of 30 minutes.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's SOP with every class, you know, but once we were like done, you know, they said, hey, if you need another 15, 20, 30 minutes, you know, we'll accommodate you.
Hunter's like, hell no, I'm wore the hell out.
And they went through, and everybody's like, no, no, no. They looked at me, I'm like, I got a bottle of bourbon whiskey at the house calling my name. I wanted to leave 3 hours ago.
And how far was the class from where you're at?
They taught it at H2O File Farms. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful facility. Oh, my God, gorgeous.
Is that like a home facility for them?
So they're moving to North Carolina.
Okay. They're from Virginia, I think, aren't
they? Yeah, so they're expanding into North Carolina.
Okay.
So I think they're going to teach some more classes at H205 Farms, and I think there's another range they talked about.
Well, I know they're going tactical response.
Okay.
They might have already done that because I saw Instagram video of tactical response, they mentioned Student of the Gun, and they said Green Ops, and I, like I said, just found Green Ops. I was like, oh shit, that's cool. And, you know,
and I'll say
they're on my radar.
All their instructors were like the primary instructor, Delta operator, trained with Pat McNamara, and then the other three instructors were former military, former law enforcement. And here's the thing, and one thing that I did like is before every drill, the instructor would demo it.
Right.
And so not only could you visualize the drill, but you could see that they had their shit together.
And I really like any quality instructor should be doing that in the first place. I've never had one that didn't. They've all demoed what they wanted you to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, firsthand, so that they should.
I mean, so it was a good class, but, you know, for people that are looking to go to the square range and shoot 100 rounds and just kind of plink, this was more training than class.
Right.
Which
that was the defensive pistol class.
Pistol one, but I would, I think the name is misleading. I think it should be defensive 1.5. One and 1.5.
Right.
Because it really got into some, it didn't get into like advanced techniques, but it got into some, it was touching on like, you know, using cover and concealment,
right,
using different positions, failure drills, all that sort of stuff. They were pretty thorough on.
Nice. Well, how I found them was I was, finishing up from Student of the Guns class. I told you I've been on a kick of running my shotgun that's behind me.
Right.
More of my shotgun and my lever action more this year, and the shotgun definitely has the least time with it, so I really want to run it more. And I was doing the gun has a shotgun class, so I'm going to try and put some guys together to take a class from them. You know, maybe in the fall or something.
Where?
Well, I don't know. Like Paul told me, he has a minimum requirement. I think of like 6 students. I know he goes to Tactical Response, so I could easily go there.
Where's that?
Camden, Tennessee. Otherwise, Paul's out in Utah. But at the same time, Tactical Response does a shotgun class as well down in Camden. And when I was Google searching online, that's how I immediately found Green Ops. Was somebody mentioned them. I don't know if it was a forum or on Reddit, said Green Ops. So I went and Googled them and I was like, oh shit, these guys look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And did, you know, it wasn't a deep dive by any means, man, but did a little bit of homework on them. And then I saw that they're going to be Tactical Response. I was like, okay, if they're going Tactical Response, that tells me they're a pretty credible class.
It really, you know, is. Their shit is together. I'm not sponsored by them.
No. But you and I both took training, so we're going to talk about it. I mean, if it's good, I'd say do more.
My buddy Josh Shaw, who I met at SIG Academy, he was taking a class at SIG Academy.
Josh Shaw? I met him
there. Josh Shaw. And
is that familiar? Have you arranged an introduction before or something, maybe?
I don't know, man.
Just sounds familiar.
Dark hair, dark beard. He's a grandmaster USPSA.
It doesn't ring a bell, but I know I've heard the name though.
And
anyway,
he and I made friends. It was a 2-day class at SIG Academy. We hung out, you know, we go to dinner. He and I just, you know, sometimes you make friends like you and I.
Yeah, you hit off of somebody and yeah, it clicks pretty good.
And he came down and he's been in a few of my reviews. And so he reached out to me. He goes, hey man, he was an instructor for the State Department for a long time. And then he goes, hey, man, I'm working for Green Ops full time. He goes, would you be willing to come take a class and do a write-up on it?
Nice.
He's like, now, I'm not asking you to do a good or bad. He goes, take the class, be honest. If you hate it, say you hate it.
The only problem is it kicked your ass.
Yeah, Josh is, I think he's a tough son of a bitch. I wouldn't want to. I mean, now, he don't weigh about 150 pounds, but I don't know that he might crawl up one side and down the other.
Well, so here's my thing. I've been getting at though, since I found these guys and they offer a shotgun class as well. Do you want to do their shotgun class? Was that a yeah?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
Okay. I mean, because it looks like they've got Intro defensive shotgun clinic, 5 hours. Defensive shotgun class, 8 hours. And I feel like it was pretty affordable too. Like, cost $295 plus additional range fee of $20 a student per day, payable cash. Okay, so $300 for 8 hour class. That's not hateful. I mean, it's really not. There's so many classes that are they're all six, seven, $800, $900,000, which I get it though, man. Especially those guys, that is their job to train you all that. But same time, that scares people off. And I look at it going, okay, $300 for the class, fine. Now I've got to still, gas of travel, hotel, food, all that crap in. Ends up becoming an expensive ass thing when I'm not then taking my wife and kids on vacation, which is just as important as doing training. But so when I find shit like this, it's $300. That's way more like, oh, hell yeah.
And I've taken a lot of classes, and I would say this is in the top two, three.
Nice.
Like,
That says a lot.
it's I mean, it's right up there with, I took a 1911 class at Range Ready, which is an amazing facility. And I would
Right.
say this is equal as quality. And you know what? It's now here again, I'm a FUD, and so
That's
I'm all
okay.
about gun
Loud.
sight.
Right.
The sun rises and sets at gun sight for me. And
Boom.
this will scratch my gun sight itch local.
Right. Right.
And
That's huge. That's
that's
huge.
huge. Yeah, I shit you not.
Well, it's funny. So, like, again, I'm on this whole shotgun kick. We briefly talked with Paul and the student gun guys, or I'm sorry, Paul, student gun, and the tactical response guys about shotgun. It ever so briefly, because I was like, I definitely, it's piqued my interest. I want to do it. And he was talking about, well, look, like, your workspace, bring it down in. We do the same with the shotgun. He goes, we don't do this offhand, your strong hand reloading shit, which is like three gun wise. It's all still fire control and
Right.
loading.
You're one by one by one square right here in
Which
front of you.
I was like, okay, that's cool because, I've shot a lot of shotgun in my life. I've done nothing class wise, nothing combative wise. Everything I've done shotguns all been either sporting clays or three gun. And when three gun stuff, if I was running the 870, I think I was still rolling it over and I was trying to do the whole like, two shell, shuck it in, bit. And if it's been with my KSG, obviously you can't shuck them in like that, but that's been it. Zombie three guns where the pacing is completely different. And I can take my time to like roll the gun one way or the other. And I was letting go of the fire control. And I feel like I've already developed myself that with a shotgun, I don't have a problem letting go of my primary hand to load a shotgun. So going to a class and be forced to do it with my left hand is going to be fun and suck at the same time
Right.
because I've already been conditioned to doing a three gun style. Speaking of three gun style, I actually 3D printed and made a 8 round shell caddy.
Look at that.
So you just pull them out, so you can chuck them in. It's spring turn, turn so you can see it.
Where'd you get
Spring
spring
loaded.
loads?
What's that?
How'd you make the spring loads?
Pretty easy. So I found this guy's model online. It's only semi-focused, isn't it? So I've got little
That's
neodymium
nice.
magnets up in here. So the
Yeah.
magnets will hold the rounds in pretty good. And I've got a bolt with a nut and springs I cut the 2 centimeters down here. So they're all spring loaded then.
Wow.
Now, the only reason it's blue and gray is because I ran out of gray filament and had to switch over. Blue is what I had, so it's two-toned blue and
I
gray.
love it, man.
But now, is this like combat shotgun application? Absolutely not. This is totally like three-gun shit. And the design comes with the slots there for belt mounting. So, yeah, and I've taken, I again, coming back to tactical response, I think I talked about this the last time we were on. When we were laying down prone pistol shooting, because I had my med kit, it was right in small on my back. And it's just funny, being at tactical response, James Yeager, I remember years ago, he said, don't put the med kit in small on your back. If you get knocked down, you're going to fuck yourself up. So as we're laying down, if we're laying flat on the ground, my hips pelvis was like this because of that med kit. So I actually moved it now. Small of my back is now empty. Hold my battle belt up. So that's small of my back. With my med kit, so it's right behind my pistol, which is fine. But what happened with that, right behind my pistol, was my loose lever action pouch. This guy right here. So now I've moved this to my old Safari Land. This is my, what do you call it? Not single stack, but it's single stack. But limited 10. That's what I used to run in for USPSA with a 1911. So I took that off of there, and now I'm actually going to reinvigorate this rig, and I think I'm going to put this shotgun caddy thing on here on the belt.
Nice.
So I can do. I mean, again, like I said, is this more like competition based setup? Sure, it is. But
no rider review for it.
For what? This thing
for that your printed? Shotgun caddy.
Sure, I never thought of it.
I think
I just built a damn thing and didn't think about that.
I think that's brilliant, though. You put. 3D printed it, made it work.
I mean, yeah, could I have actually bought something? But the fact that I have a 3D printer, why not make it my damn self and see how it works, you know?
I mean, I didn't think you were smart enough to do anything like that.
Okay, so again, not counting, say, printer filament, because I have this shit. $20 in hardware. That was it.
Well, wow, what are those? Probably a couple $100?
Man, I was going to try and go look for them. I would say on the cheap side, they're probably $50-$60.
Okay.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, if you have the means to make it, sure, you can do it cheaper, you know, but that's kind of the thing with 3D printing. It's like, if you have the ability to make it, why wouldn't you just make it rather than buy something else's? But, you know, yeah, no, I'm going to try it out this weekend. My buddy and I run some shotgun this weekend.
So I should probably get a new shotgun.
Man, you do you, boo. Like, you said you want to run shotgun class with a pump. I mean,
I'll run it with a pump. I don't give a shit for no autoloader.
No. Let's back up here. Let's use our thinking cap. Be logical here. You just told me this 8-hour one day class kicked your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and part of it, legitimately, not cracking your balls or anything, is because you're older. Oh. So if you think you're going to do an 8-hour plus class running shotgun all day, dude, a pump's gonna fucking kill your shoulder.
I deserve it. Well, I'm gonna run it with a. But here's the thing, and here's the thing. I favor pump.
Yeah.
And so we took a lunch break. Guys were giving me a little bit of shit about carrying a night. You're like, oh, you brought your 1911. That's really cool, by the way.
I wasn't trying to interrupt. I just hold up, show it off.
That's all good. Guy's like, oh, you know, you run your 1911, yada, yada, yada. You know, and I'm looking at the guy, and his gun is this far off of his side in a magnetic holster with an optic. And I'm like, that's your concealed carry rig? Guy's like,
he's off a little bit, but yeah, right.
I mean, you know, I'm like, that's your concealed carry rig? You know, what do you throw that on and trench coat it? Just right. No, that's not what I concealed carry. It's what I shoot matches with. Okay, you know, this class had a lot of great information, and a lot of it would pertain to shooting matches, I'm sure. But it's called defensive pistol.
Right.
So why wouldn't you bring what you carry? And a lot of times I carry that specialist.
Well, and you know, okay, so were you rocking it inside the waistband holster, or are you wearing your high-speed gear belt rig?
No, I was wearing my high-speed gear.
Okay, I'm not judging. I was going to say, because our class, same thing.
Is because they said my brain just quit. Drill is going to be, you know, 20 rounds.
Right. So you need more magazines. So, in 1911, it's a lot of reloading.
Normally, when I'm concealed carry, I'll carry my specialist, and I'll carry a mag or two.
Right.
But so I'm not fiddle fucking around. I just put my high speed belt on for the mag carriers.
Sure.
And I had a dump pouch in my back so I could carry a bottle of water or, you know, mags that fucked up.
Yep.
Or heads I severed.
And that's kind of some shit we talked about too. So like, yeah, I was running my rig. So I've got this is for the Echelon. So I've got a Safari Land holster on it, you know, rifle mags, pistol mags, dump pouch, med kit, multi-tool, knife, whatever. And some guys were like, well, but other guys were carrying appendix, carrying like their concealed carry rig. And they're like, well, is that your concealed carry rig? And I went, no. I was like, but what thing is, you don't know me, I don't know you. I do have, I am very fortunate with the range access I have, just as you are, that I do carry my conceal rig with magazines and do run it from concealment, you know, on my range. And I'm in a class like this, you know, I'm going to have a little more fun and run the battle belt, because why not?
Now, I'm going to tell you this. You know what Chad ran? Fucking Chad rolls up with a CZP-09 inside the waistband fucking holster.
Yeah.
In a double mag pouch.
Yeah.
And he ran the fucking class.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did well. He was slower than a lot of people.
Right. Well, but he's slower.
Every drill, he's grabbing and pulling.
Yep. Yep.
You know, versus just grabbing.
Two guys in our class, same thing. We're running their carry rigs, and the rest of us were, you know, strong side belt mounts. I mean, I'm not gonna judge anybody how they need to run a class like that.
All the instructors,
do how you want to do it.
The instructor's like, raise your hand if you showed up with your carry rig.
Right.
And Chad raised his hand, and like nobody, and he goes, he's that man right there, serious.
That's awesome.
And Chad did really well. He did really well in the class, and at the end he shined. So, you know, he probably most improved.
Right.
Chad's a good shooter, but you get him in front of people, or you get a timer around him, and the wheels try to fall off.
Shit.
But they pressed him, and he pushed past that and did really well.
Yeah, so there's one of my carry rigs, an appendix. That's for the Echelon, so it's full size. But so yeah, I'll carry that thing. I'll carry a VP9. I'll carry my PO9. I have this same rig for my PO9.
This is what I carried all day.
Nothing. Six shooter.
No, it's a five shooter.
Oh, it's a five shooter.
Yeah, I carry this. It's a Charter Arms Pitbull in 45 auto.
Nice.
And I carry that sumbitch. I got some double tap, 185 grain, soul sucker.
Of course you're double tap.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what kind of, when Mike McNett gets powder in, I don't know what kind of damn voodoo spell he does over it, but he makes this powder do shit I can't make mine do.
It's some hot shit. That's all I know, man. It's some hot shit.
Their shit is together. So, but I shot this last class. I shot it with Defender ammo. I shot it with Defender ball. And, you know, it's not, it's standard pressure.
Right. Something else I was going to ask you about. I was on a kick. Really want to build a dissipator AR upper. You know, the dissipator is, it's 16-inch barrel, rifle length gas. That's basically it.
Okay. Well, what makes that unique?
16-inch barrel.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hands keep in frame. So, carbine length gas system.
You said
mid length. Rifle length. So it's like muzzle device, A2 front sight. So it's, you're getting an M16, like a 20-inch barrel gas system on a 16-inch gun.
I mean, what is it? Is there a benefit in that?
I think basically you're getting, you know, as well enough, like, not saying carbines are jumpy or recoiling, but compared to a rifle, they are. And so you drop a 16-inch barrel with a rifled gas system, it's just stupid flat. It's old school shit. It's nothing new. They're old as shit.
I got your solution to that way, way better.
Oh, here we go.
No, you don't believe me. Just take a moment, gather your...
I'm waiting.
So, my close dear friend, Andrew Barnes, is machining H4 plus buffers.
What the hell is an H4 plus buffer other than it's heavier than shit?
It is a stainless steel tube with three tungsten weights in it. It's heavy. It's he could quote you the ounces, and it's probably right. It's probably three times as heavy as a commercial buffer.
Well, I think there's we're going to fall in difference with, okay, a dissipator. Is it's no weight difference. You're not adding in more weight anywhere in the gun. It's just you're going to a longer gas system.
The way we're talking ounces.
Yeah, but ounces equal pounds.
Nah, my ass.
Okay.
If you ever, I tell you what.
Mr. 8-hour class killed me.
I'm going to punch you in the eye when I see you next.
We said you ain't coming to NRA, so.
I think we are.
You are coming? Okay.
Yeah, I think Kay and I are going to come. Well, you're getting me off track. I got a 7.5-inch SBR that I screwed a baffle type can on with a full auto lower.
Okay.
And it was trying to malfunction. And it was a Barnes rifle. And I'm like, Andrew, your fucking rifle's trash. Which is not.
No. He makes really good shit.
What is it doing? I'm like, 7.5-inch pistol length gas system with a baffle stack can full auto. I'm getting the occasional failure to extract. It's like, you got bolt overspeed.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, fix it. He's like,
right.
He goes, all right, let me study on that for a little bit and I'll get back with you. So he calls me up and goes, hey, stop by the shop. And he hands me this buffer. And it felt like it was made of lead. I'm like, my God, is a gun going to cycle? He said, well, it's going to cut your socket rate in half. But what it also does is when you're running it, it is, you know what? I tell you what, I'm not even going to ask you to believe me. I'll go by Andrews. I'll get one. I'll send it to you.
Okay. And or, put in what, a 16-inch gun?
It don't matter. I put one in my 16-inch gun, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to get caught with this. It's weird.
No, sense me. I'll give it a shot. I mean, I'll throw it in like the 733. I'll throw it in a couple 16-inch builds.
I'll get you an H4 Plus buffer. And now you can run it without a can, and it will not malfunction. It's not going to induce a malfunction, but it slows your socket rate down.
Right.
Significantly.
No matter what, it still doesn't change the fact I like the idea of the dissipator and running one because I've never had a dissipator and something a little bit different. I mean, because come on, you'll admit the same thing. An M16, a 20-inch M16 type AR is a way smoother and like laser flat shooting gun than, say, any other length carbine.
Right.
Carbine gas system, right?
Sure, so, I mean, agree with that.
So, I mean, there's a dissipator. Same thing then. You're getting the rifle length, but the difference in dwell time of the gas tube, you know, in the gas system. And still in a carbine length setup.
You know, that rings my bell. Your boy that makes the AR uppers texted me.
Patrick.
About doing.
Yeah, he's doing a bunch of this. Did he? Good.
He's supposed to send me some kind of upper.
Good.
You cool with that?
Yeah. All he right. needs the publicity.
Yeah, I know.
But he's got actually a dissipator. He texted me the other day. It was a blend barrel. And I was like, ooh, is that a dissipator setup? And he goes, it is. I was like, I have a flash hider for a can. I have an upper. I'll send this shit to you. I was like, I want that blem barrel. He goes, well, I can do this, that, the other, the blem. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. You could cry on the blem. Like, it doesn't mean shit to me.
Right.
You know.
Photoshop.
Yeah. I throw my shit in the ground left and right. Watch guys go, oh, you just threw your gun on the ground. Yeah. It's a fucking tool, people.
It's a tool.
You know.
I mean.
And the guys worry about their optics. It's like, well, if your optics quality, it ain't going to hurt it either. You know,
speaking of tool, I got a photo I want to show you.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez is right. This is,
you know, if you would get the dummy battery with the constant power hookup for one of your Canon cameras, because I'm sure you have more than one, and get the HDMI cord to plug into your laptop, you could have a lot better video. And I could see things like when you share this with me.
Look,
way easier than. Oh, God, your truck.
That's my old lady.
I said, I'm looking at the woman more than the truck, but it's like, yeah, there's your truck, okay.
Yeah, I took her out. She hates that damn thing.
Then why'd you take her out on it?
Because I love it.
Okay, like, but wait. Yeah, exactly. It's loud and it smells like shit. Did you take her out in that truck on her birthday?
Yes, for ice cream.
Oh, you're a fuck. God.
And I took her to a really bougie
not in the caddy. What the hell, man?
And I took her to a really bougie ice cream place where it was it won't nothing but Lexuses and F-150 Platinums. And
what was it, Cold Stone?
it was so we're up the street from
Marble
me,
Slab.
We got NC State University.
Yeah,
and they opened a creamery.
Okay.
Off the farm, so they do ice cream. But it's bougie as fuck.
But was it good?
Oh, my God. Yeah, their ice cream's out of control.
Okay, then who cares if it's bougie if it's that good?
Well, but, like, I rolled up, and it's Lexus, BMW.
Yes, you rolled up this 89 piece of shit.
And I rolled up in that truck, you know, with that 7.3 IDI. Angry as hell. And all the dudes looked over and seen my hot-ass old lady. They're like, I want to be that guy.
Some of the soy boys probably were, yeah. Other ones that don't know what a man is, we're seeing that going, yeah, maybe. I was going, ew, it's loud and stinky.
It's loud. It's loud. It smells like diesel. It just rides like a hammered asshole. I love it.
That's funny.
As Candy would say, it is certainly an extension of your personality because that truck is very abrasive.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna drive it to Atlanta.
No, you're not. Yeah, it'll cost you in diesel. No, you're not. Granted, you could drive to Atlanta and you won't get stolen. Be safe ride.
It's the 5-speed.
extra safe then. Extra safe then. What's that?
You meant because nobody would want it.
Exactly. Nobody would want it, but now they can't even drive it.
Here's how I feel about your feelings. Fuck and you.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, of course you are, you soy boy motherfucker.
Remember, I'm Iron Man. Cornbread.
Do you have your cell phone with you?
I do.
All right. Why don't you call me real quick, just so we see where we're at with this.
What?
Call my cell phone.
Oh, God.
Okay. Do as I say.
Yeah, eat a bag of dicks.
You got one handy?
See you, Hunter Elliott calling. Okay. Calling mobile, Hunter Elliott. Oh, there. I am Iron Man.
Fuck that guy.
That's fucking awesome. I'll take it.
You earned it. Your heart was fucked.
I'll take it. So here's a funny one. So. I've been working at spend some time. What are you drinking there?
You know, inexpensive mezcal. Don't discount inexpensive mezcal.
Okay.
Monte Lobos is primo. Monte Albans is not bad. And it's got the
yellow. Yeah.
It did have the worm in it.
Well, the worm was like kind of just a more of a myth about it being actually good or bad tequila.
No, the worm is for
marketing.
Cheaper mezcal. I guarantee I'm telling you my truck on that.
Drink my water.
Where's the worm at? Oh, he's laid up in the bottom.
So, you know, I've talked about fantasy movies in the past a good bit, and I've been wanting to get my oldest to watch Lord of the Rings. Do what?
It's got a screw top.
Trying to just pull the idiot.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's my backup.
Okay.
Woo!
But no, so I want to get my oldest kid, get him to actually sit down and watch Lord of the Rings, because those movies are awesome. But before that, I was thinking we'll get him to watch some older stuff because I feel like if he watches Lord of the Rings, anything afterwards, it's older, he's going to watch it, think it's boring and it's old and it's just not as cool of a movie.
Right.
So Saturday, was it this past Saturday? It was. We actually watched two. Watched one early in the morning. I watched Ridley Scott's Legend with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry. Tim Curry is the big red-horned Lord of Darkness.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it on Blu-ray because I hadn't seen it forever. It wasn't streaming anywhere. Man, visually, the movie is still super badass looking. Tim Curry looks fucking awesome as that role. But the movie as a whole, it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like nothing happens. Like nothing. It's just like, oh, I don't remember this movie like being a lot of just cool pictures that kind of moved a little bit.
I watched something the other day. What was it I watched that The Dukes of Hazzard. I started rewatching The Dukes of Hazzard, and I'm like, and this is, it's good.
It's talking the original show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's good.
I can't say I've seen that forever.
It's pretty damn corny.
Yeah. You know? Some things, like, yeah. Like I said, Legends still look good, but just it was boring.
Now, I'm going to tell you what is un... I can still watch The Dukes of Hazzard, and okay. I got to suspend 15% of disbelief, okay?
Okay, okay.
And it's, you know, you ain't going to fly an 070 Charger and land it and drive it, okay? But I'm going to tell you, brother, what, and everybody listening right now, do this. What is unwatchable as an adult right now? And it pains me.
Go for it.
18.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've not watched that one since I was probably a kid either.
Okay, so I went, started back watching A-Team. And when they made a rivet gun out of like hairspray and rubber tubing and a nail gun that would accurately shoot 40 yards.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, because it had like a scuba tank hooked up to it.
Sure.
And, you know.
Lots of pressure that in
with this rubber tubing and to a nail gun, and it was a rivet. I was like, oh. oh, the very first one, Murdoch breaks out of his fucking the mental institution by getting trash bags and tying them to like a wheelchair and filling them full of hot air from a air dryer. It floats out of it.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, I watched that with my mom. I'm like, and he's got all these trash bags tied to his wheelchair or whatever.
That's like an acting cartoon, right?
From the hair dryer. And then I watched that. And I'm like, this is fucking asinine. And then, like, all these memories come back of my dad watching this going, son,
this is stupid.
This is bullshit. And I'm like, shut up, Dad.
Right. That's funny. I mean, some things really do. I mean, yeah, I continue on. So like I told you, we watched two films Saturday. We watched Legend. And the other one we watched in the evening was Willow with Val Kilmer. So it had Maverick in the morning and then Willow with Iceman with Val Kilmer. He liked Willow a bit more. Willow's a little more actiony, and he was way more entertained with Willow than Legend.
Which Willow was good.
I get it, because Willow was good. Like, I think it kind of got a bad rap. I still enjoyed it. It was cool. Yeah, Matt Mardigan! And dude, Warwick Davis, Willow, he was 17 years old when he made that movie.
Did you know they did a TV show, Willow, at Amazon?
No. They did a TV show. It was on Disney Plus. Apparently, it was like absolute woke garbage. Disney Plus completely pulled it from the streaming service. It was that bad.
And then it went to Amazon?
No, it's Disney Plus show.
Where does
Disney owns it?
Didn't get it. Disney Plus.
Maybe it was advertised on through Amazon, but it's a Disney. It was a Disney Plus show.
Maybe I watched it at Chad's house. Watched like the first one or two, and it was, but it had the original. And
Warwick Davis was back in it.
Yeah, but nobody else. It was
god
awful.
That's all I heard. It was absolutely terrible.
We watched the first two episodes.
Just remember, it's always just the movie. Then there's no show. It's just the movie.
Right. That's how I feel about Clerks. There was Clerks and Clerks.
God, we got over that one. it's funny. Yeah, it's funny how some shows, things like that, you can go back and watch them. Like, you know, Star Trek, man. Back in the day, I didn't like watching the original series. My dad, I thought it was cheesy and boring. Now I can go back and watch it just because everything we get
amazing.
Now.
Amazing.
Well, no, it's not amazing.
It's not amazing. I think it's amazing.
It's not amazing, but the writing of so much stuff today is so bad that every cheap, low budget effect of old school Star Trek, you can forget about because the writing is so much better and good storytelling. You're just like,
I think Star Trek is amazing. To you know, contrary to popular belief, what anybody's going to fucking roll their eyes at, William Shatner's an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I think people that like say he's not are full of shit. I mean,
and you know what I liked about Star Trek was Captain Kirk didn't put up with shit. You know, he didn't. Motherfucker, like, you're encroaching on the Enterprise. We come in peace. Okay, we'll stop there. We're coming in peace. Are they close? But Spock's like, Captain, they are 6 leagues closer. Blast them. 6 leagues closer. League is 3 miles. And I'm fucking around. You know what? Captain Picard was like, you know, Worf's like, Captain, they're stabbing Troy in the eye.
Don't be bad mouthing Captain Picard. Don't even do that shit.
You can like
Kirk more. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't be dog shitting on Captain Picard. Picard
is a pussy.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Dude, he's a. All right. Let me ask you this. Quick question, real quick, like a rabbit. How many times did fucking Picard get assimilated? Goose egg. Zero.
No, Picard did get assimilated once.
Right, because he's a pussy.
You just said zero.
How many times did Kirk...
Because they haven't found the Borg yet.
No, because Kirk could whip their ass. They're like, oh, they could build a fucking force field for our lasers. Well, then he's going to give them the fucking people's elbow.
Okay.
You know why Picard didn't do a lot of hand-to-hand? Because he's 140. The only thing the Next Generation had going for it was a Deanna LaTroy, or what's her name?
Deanna Troy.
She was a fucking baby doll with massive knockers.
Yeah, these were pretty decent. Yeah.
But now I will say this. They did a show called Picard.
Yeah.
Okay. That was infinitely better than Star Trek.
Okay. Hold on. Picard season 3 is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Picard season 1 and 2, they are all right.
Agreed.
But Picard season 3 was fucking great.
Because he got the band back together.
Yes, that's why it was so great. Right. I'm glad you've seen that because, God, that was so good.
That was great. Worf was like this Zen motherfucker.
Yes, I loved it. It was badass. Chamomile tea. That's fucking great.
Yeah, and you know, and there was a picture of all of them at the Enterprise. And I'm gonna tell you, it stirred some nostalgic feelings, man.
Oh, dude, I was watching Picard season 3 after my dad had died. And because he and I grew up watching TNG. Yeah, the end of Picard season 3, dude, that was rough. Mm. It was because it was so good. That was so good. It was that rough.
And similar.
Yes.
But better. Yes.
I mean, like Mason had just started his journey with me watching season 1 of TNG. So he's catching something with Picard. I was like, no, leave the room. You're not watching this with me right now. He's like, what? I said, we will get to it. You don't want to watch this now because this is awesome. You have to watch everything that comes up to this point. And he goes, right. Okay, all right. So he and I are in season 3 of TNG right now. And he's digging it.
There was some Next Generations that were pretty good. But I really don't think that. All right, here's my. I ask you this.
Sure.
If you were asshole deep in a fighting hole, would you pick Picard or Kirk?
Oh, if you're saying me personally am asshole deep in a fighting hole, yeah, I'd take Kirk.
Because he's a badass.
Yeah.
Picard is more of a attaché.
But it's also because they built a completely different dynamic in TNG. Riker was the Kirk of TNG. Riker was banging chicks left and right, getting in fist fights left and right. All right.
He's like 70% Kirk.
I'll accept that. That's fine.
But, you know, Kirk was a mean, bad, cold motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's like, they're doing what? They're scanning our shields? Bomb them.
Yeah.
It's probably like, but it's the only organisms left of this particular species.
I don't care.
You know, he's like, fuck them. They scan my shields. I'm done with them. Zap, done. Zero tolerance.
That's funny.
Kirk was a – I love Kirk, man.
So it's funny. Like he's talking about going back and watch other shows. Another one, you never cease to amaze me sometimes. I've been watching another older sci-fi show. This is like my third time in life probably watching it. It's on Amazon and Tubi, called Babylon 5. Are you familiar with that one?
No. I mean, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It aired when Star Trek Deep Space Nine came out. They aired parallel time frame. But the cool thing, all the shows we watch now, like I don't know, man. Pick any show you watch, it's only 8 to 10 episodes a season because it's all one big story arc, you know, all the whole show. Babylon 5 started that in the 90s before anybody else.
No shit.
Yeah, they were the first ones to really do that. The guy came up and was like, hey, I'm going to build a show. It's a five-year show. It's not seven, it's not eight, it's 5 years. I can tell a complete story in 5 years. And he did. And I think I got into it because it was a little bit – it was alternative enough from Star Trek, where Star Trek's always like – I like the fact that Star Trek shows humanity like at its peak. Like we've continued to be great people. We're out in the stars. We're doing good shit. Babylon 5 is a little more like, yeah, we're out in the stars. We do some shit, but we're pretty fucked up still. You know, we fight amongst ourselves. We kill amongst ourselves. But it's a different level. It's like a darker, grittier. But it's low budget as shit.
That's okay.
But damn, it's good, dude. It's really good writing.
One of my favorite sitcoms or shows, you're going to roll your eyes. Candy turned me on to it. Community. You ever watch Community?
No, I know of it. But I've never seen that.
You have got to watch Community.
Is that from some of the same people that did Office Space, The Office and shit like that?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Man, it is it's very complicated. It's simple to watch and easily enjoyable to watch for the moron masses.
Right. But it's
someone of my level of intellect appreciates the depth. See how I complimented myself?
Uh-huh.
You, however,
yeah, okay,
part of the moron masses will appreciate the surface.
Okay.
And it has
Chevy Chase is in it.
Chevy Chase, baby.
I'll be damned.
Chevy Chase is in it, and he does a fucking phenomenal job as being an asshole.
Six seasons of it.
Six seasons in a movie.
NBC. Yeah, I do know of it, but I know I've not seen it.
It was, I think, Candy, our third or fourth date. I spent a night with her. And
all on Netflix.
But
I was currently unavailable. Fuck you.
She was like, Candy has got a. She's got a really, really good filter for finding good shit to watch.
Okay.
And so she says, "Have you ever seen Community?" I'm like, "Never heard of it." So she busts out her laptop. We were in her room. Bed was made, but a little messy. She drags the laptop on her. I'm thinking, she's going to fire some pornography. Fine, she God, did.
You're such a fun.
And we watched, a bunch of episodes of Community. And I was like, we watched, one or two, and she's kind of kissing on me and, honing in. And I'm like, what? Is there another one? So we watched, five. And then, I took her to the moon. Right, baby?
No. No, love that.
No means yes.
Uh-huh. Community. Yeah, there's a great long while there. I'll say I didn't watch TV, but I got pretty burnt out on most everything that was on TV. So sitcoms, didn't watch them. I watched Friends in its entirety. When Friends and Seinfeld ended, I was I'm kind of done.
I hate Seinfeld. Is that okay?
That's okay. I mean, it's stupid, but I enjoy the show of it.
Let me tell you something about it, because Candy loves Seinfeld.
Oh, it's hilarious, but it's okay if you hate it.
I hate it, because you know why? Jerry and Elaine and all those motherfuckers They are cock sucking asshole bastard fucks.
Yeah.
They're
pieces of shit.
They're all pieces of shit.
Yes.
The waste of humanity. Like that's the worst of humanity. Like we watched a couple seasons of it, and I'm like, and I looked at Ken, and I'm like, these people are shit. And Candy's like, I know. That's what's funny. Because I'm not.
But you didn't have any humorous laughs out of their misery, and then like, okay.
I you know what it was kind of like watching a fucking tractor trailer full of cows wreck. You're like, I'm gonna watch this shit, but it's gruesome.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I
fucking hated Seinfeld. Hated it. I mean, Kramer. Kramer had some funny bits. I like Kramer.
Yeah.
Because he didn't take himself too serious. Jerry Seinfeld, they should have ended every episode with him getting the shit kicked out of him. Because he was a pompous fucking piece of shit. And I'm going to accentuate my opinion, the knife hand. Fuck him. What a dick. Sorry. Woo, you touched a nerve.
Over a TV show. Good God.
Dave, I'm sorry.
Damn.
Woo! Just a whirlwind of emotions.
Wow. To the Mezcal and Seinfeld. Holy shit, that's a lethal combination.
You bet your ass.
That's all right. Candy will calm you back down.
Yeah, she's low. It's her birthday still. Happy birthday, baby!
Wait. You said you went to dinner last night. That's why we didn't do this last night. I didn't record because it was her birthday. Your birthday yesterday or today?
My mom went to the beach today, and mom took us out last night for her birthday.
Ah, but her birthday is today.
Her like official birthday is today.
Oh, well, fuck, dude. Let's wrap this up and get the hell off of here so you can spend the last little bit of the evening with her then.
You sure?
Yes. Well, we've been on for an hour and a half almost, so yeah, we can just be done.
Happy birthday. Look, Dave's birthday present is more time with me. Thanks.
I'm so excited. All right. Are you sober enough to tell people where to find you at?
You can go to, let's see, probably the best is donttouchme.net.
Dear God, please don't go there.
I hate Seinfeld.org.
Oh, my
and
God.
Dave is my boyfriend.us.
So, in other words, people can find you at rangehot.com and all your social media.
Rangehot.com, baby.
Oh, my God. And just follow me and find me. It's livefire-media.com. All right, man. This is episode 10. Hey, 10 episodes. 10.
Go.
Oh, God. What?
Would you charge me to swap names? Because Livefire is way better than Rangehot.
No.
All right.
We can just work on collabing more. How's that?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Kirkwood.
All right. Till next time, brother.
All right, my friend. You know I love you like he's my sister.
Peace out, man.
Later, brother.